money and markets, the story globally continues to be the slowdown. And with that is concern continuing about the impact of droughts on food prices. Europe is getting closer to an exhaustion point on maintaining the euro, and there's more and more pressure in Germany for a referendum, which could be very interesting. I posted a rumor, and it's still a rumor, that construction had slowed or stopped on the European Central Bank, the ECB's new building in Frankfurt. If it turns out that's true, that's a very interesting development. Under the category, I would love to know the real story here. Raw Story reported this week that Kentucky Fried Chicken and Pizza Hut closed their franchises in Nepal as the staff threatened to kill branch managers. All four Kentucky Fried Chicken and Pizza Hut restaurants in Nepal have been shut down. My question is, did they discover that GMO food is reported to sterilize the next generation? Good news from Latin America. Ecuador has granted political asylum to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Assange is holed up in the Ecuador embassy in London. The UK says it will not allow him to leave. The Get Julian histrionics have reached a fairly ridiculous lawless state, and it's sort of interesting to watch the machinations. In Arizona, we continue to see a back and forth between the federal administration and Arizona Governor Jan Brewer about Arizona's ban on driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants and therefore their inability to get public benefits. On one hand, it looks like the ongoing squabbles between Arizona and the federal government, but there's a very important precedent here that you're going to see again and again with many state governments, and that is the federal mandate keeps mandating expenses to the states without providing revenues. And there is it's literally going to bring state and local governments to bankruptcy, particularly when it's combined with the fact that the federal government is debasing the currency, and that means debasing the assets of the state and local governments. So without more financial sovereignty, the states are really facing real problems, and that's part of what Brewer's problem is, and I think why she's probably drawing a line in the sand. A very eerie development in that aspect, there's a new Fed study out announcing historically a much higher municipal bankruptcies than have been reported by the rating agencies. It's almost as though they want to increase the baseline so that as bankruptcies at the municipal level start to grow, it won't look statistically as bad. New news from McMillan Firearms, also in Arizona. The Bank of America fired them. The head of operations reported on the internet, and I checked with McMillan. The story is true. It's up on the blog. The Bank of America came in this week and said, you know, we don't want to be doing business with firearms and gun companies. Go find yourself another bank. And so McMillan posted the story on the internet. My question, of course, for McMillan is, why were you banking with Bank of America in the first place? Max Kaiser, late last week, had Paul Moore, the former head of risk from HBOS, on the Kaiser Report, and I posted a quote from that discussion. It reads as follows: money affects people's lives. The United Nations has estimated that the banking crisis drove 100 million people back into poverty around the world. The mortality statistics and morbidity statistics, the number of extra people who die and are ill, rise dramatically when you are in poverty. I would be very surprised if the financial crisis didn't kill more people than any single conflict since World War II. So I placed a note on top of that quote from Paul Moore and said, actually, if you estimate for the full financial coup d'etat following the GATT adoption of the Uruguay round and the creation of the World Trade Organization combined with a strong dollar policy, the number of people killed would be well in excess of World War II. So if Bank of America is helping to engineer that, I wonder why McMillan Firearms was banking with them in the first place. Interestingly enough, at the same story that came out, a key analyst pulled his buy recommendation on the publicly traded gun companies, and we saw Smith & Wesson and a few others trade down significantly this week. Unemployment figures, still not good, not surprisingly. earlier this week, it's off the homepage now, I put up a very interesting chart that shows the productivity of American labor rising steadily throughout the century, and yet starting in the 70s, the hourly compensation flatlines, and so the productivity is rising, but none of that productivity is going to the benefit of labor. I put it up under the title, Thank You, Washington, D.C. There's a new term popping up, and we saw it this week with Deutsche Bank publishing a study. The name of the study was The Cost of Financial Repression, and you're starting to see that name used again and again. Deutsche Bank talked about it with respect to the impact on investors of the forcing down of interest rates, but we see it, and Franklin Sanders and I talked about it during the Precious Metals Market Report last week, on Basel III, where you engineer the regulations forcing the small banks essentially to sweep up deposits and loan the money to the government at low interest rates, making it much more difficult for them to loan to small business and pass some of the increased yield back to their depositors. And that is, in fact, indeed financial repression. It's a good term for it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that term popping up more and more.